Okay. So,
Book it up, everyone. Right. So, a few questions here. And kind of like, I think a lot of them are kind of, the focus really is, on a lot of them, is trying to work out why we're kind of making these drushes. Because, you know, there's always a klal that, you know, we don't just make drushes. You know, there's usually something that kind of pushes us towards darshaning in these ways. Mm-hmm. Kind of, I always let, you know, a drasha is really a kind of a deep level of pshat, right? So, you know, there's something else in the pasuk that we're kind of trying to explain through the drasha. Anyway, okay. So the first one here, yeah, and this is a stomach question, yeah. So we know that there were three gezeiras, right, in the test, mm-hmm. and the first one was the midwives, yeah, and then the second one was that Pharaoh kind of realized the midwives weren't doing what he was hoping to do, so he made gods to make sure the Jewish boys were thrown to the Nile, and then his astrologers came and said, oh, you know, like, We've worked out that, like, you know, the Savior's going to be born now, but we don't know whether he's Egyptian, Jewish, so he made a gezeira, you know, for everyone, yeah? But the problem is, yeah, that the pasuk that we darshan to say that he made a gezeira for everyone, right? So it starts by saying, Vatzapur l'chol amo, yeah? And then it carries on, yeah? And it says, right, d'chol ben hayor tashlichuchu, yeah? So d'chol ben hayor tashlichuchu is brought to be, that's the makor for the stage two. So you've got the stage the same pasuk starts off with the makor for stage three, and then the continuation of the pasuk,
right,
we're saying is the second stage gezeira. So, first of all, I mean, it's one pasuk, yeah. So it's very strange how we're splitting in part, but we're anyway doing it in the wrong order. We're saying within the pasuk, yeah. First of all, you know, vaitzav paro lechol ha'aro means gezeira three, and then the continuation of the pasuk. Now we're saying that's referring to the prior gezeira. Kind of all out of order. So, the Maharsha addresses this. So I've kind of put in the whole thing here because it's good how he speaks to that. So he says, this is number one. Amnam yesh l'dak dek b'zeh d'chol ha'ben ha'yo'ira g'omer, right? Bata v'aitzav paro l'chol ha'mohu. This pasuk that we're saying is stage two comes after stage three. Hu d'chdev, right? U'mashma shu koi agzeres kol ha'mohu. And on the contrary, it sounds, you would say the continuation, which we're saying is stage two, is really just is really going on Kol Amo. Yeah, it's the continuation of that pasuk. V'hashta manalahu dechol ben hayolod v'chuli. Yeah, and therefore, how do we know, right, that if it's going on, you know, the first part of the pasuk, how do we know that that's then, you know, a special new gezeira that's talking about all the babies? Right, v'itzav paru lechol Amo v'goymer heim beis gezeiras. How do we know that they're two gezeiras? Well, haktim mu'ucha, and then we're going to go and say, you know, the later one comes first. It's, you know, the hainu dechol ben hayalud b'chomer, who gezeira shnia, right? Tzav paru lechol amo gezeira gimel. Yeah, the whole thing kind of is hard to understand. So it says the Maharsha, v'yesh v'yashev. This is how you would answer it. Deschan hu atzmam lomar gezeira shnia. Really, the second gezeira that we're talking about, so once again, the first gezeira is kind of telling the midwife to try to kill, and the second gezeira is, you know, they're now going to not rely on the midwives, they're going to have a gezeira, you have to throw the baby, Jewish baby boys, and we're going to appoint shomrim, we're going to do ourselves. Where do we learn that from? Midichdiv haban nishachmalo. It's actually from a completely different pasuk, yeah? It's from the pasuk that says, and we saw this pasuk before, yeah? You know, let's go and let's be wise in terms of working out how we can deal with the Jewish problem, so to speak. The Haimah says, Hachem the Mashiach Shel Yisrael, right? The Dunam B'mayim. And we said before we darshaned, yeah, about, you know, how we're going to deal with kind of Hashem, yeah, the Mashiach Shel Yisrael. Oh, let's do it with water. And we said, you know, that. So we're now saying, actually, that dealing with Hashem with water was talking about the gezeira of throwing the Jewish baby boys into the Nile. So that's really the makor, right, for that second stage. So basic gezeiras rishonus hayu mishum pen yibeh, right, vayatikidikrena. So actually, that whole pasuk, which was saying let's be wise with them because we're worried that they're going to multiply and then our enemy's going to come, really that whole theme was linked to the first two gezeiras. That's kind of first two gezeiras as a block was because of that reason and that those pasukim earlier on. And basically it was one thing, they wanted to kill the Jewish babies, so the first attempt was to do it through the Jewish midwives. And when that didn't work, they tried to enforce it themselves. But really, kind of, that all went earlier, yeah? And therefore, this pasuk really, v'chol ha'ben ha'yolad ha'yora, this pasuk by Tzav Poro L'chol Amo, right, is really just the third gezeira. That whole pasuk is really just the third gezeira. So that's the sheet of the Marashah. Now the obvious question is, but the Gemara itself, yeah, it says, brings the end of that pasuk to talk about the kind of the second stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we kind of got in our question in the first place, yeah? So I saw that the Eitz Yosef says the same pshat as the Marashah, and basically just says it's a way of borrowing language. So the bottom line, according to the Marashah and the Eitz Yosef who explains the Marashah is, right, even though our Gemara brings the continuation of that pasuk that says, right, Vaitzav Paro L'chol Amo, and then it says, Kol HaBen HaYilid HaYo'ora Tashlichuchu, and brings the later part of that pasuk to talk about the second stage. Really, that's just borrowed. It's not actually where it's learnt from. The second gezeira was really learnt from a much earlier pasuk, and the first two gezeiras kind of were linked to that earlier pasuk, right, of let's go and be wise and deal with the Jewish problem, first way through the midwives, and second way directly. And really, this pasuk, this later pasuk is all on this new gezeira of killing all the babies. That's basically the way to explain it.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
So, interesting. Yeah. Okay, question number two, yeah? So it says, right, Bas Levi, calls Yocheved Bas Levi. He says, why is it called Bas Levi? So Rabbi Huda says, Nolad Bas Simnei Naris. Yeah? She became kind of youthful, right? So I saw a question asked here, is, that's very nice, this kind of miracle that Yocheved, who was 90 or something, yeah? Mm-hmm. Became like a young girl, right? But what was that needed for? Right, we know that when Sarah became youthful, that's always compared. That served a purpose because she then became pregnant with Yitzchak. Yeah, but here we know that Yocheved was already pregnant. So why did it need to be right that she became youthful? What was the purpose of that miracle?
Yeah, this question came from yesterday.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, right? So the Ein Yaakov deals with this. So he says the following. It's number two. Shemati b'shem, right? His teacher, Gaon of Shapiro, right? Lefisha ikka nesuin shelo ha'isa kadesh yachzru kulam es nesheisehem, right? The main purpose of this remarriage, right, was so that everyone else should kind of follow and also remarry. Ki amru da amram lekach hechzir. But he was worried that the concern would be they would say, oh no, you know why the Amram went and remarried her? For the following reason. For he, she is the Cana. Because, you know, everyone knew that Yocheved was 90 years old. So no problem with remarrying her. What? 130?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Did I say 90? Yeah, I'm thinking I'm getting confused, aren't I? Sorry. Yeah, she was even older. 130, yeah? She ain't a real holid ode because she's you know, okay, this must be a fluke, you know, in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, but she's not going to have any more children, yeah?
So it doesn't matter if he marries her because...
Right. They're going to say, well, you know, okay, it's fine for Amram to remarry this old lady, yeah? Because the whole problem with people being married was, yeah, that, you know, you don't want to have children and when they're all going to be killed, yeah? This is what he spells out. Masha Enke means Shiru Laholid, yeah? Someone who, you know, if they had a wife who could still have children, Lo Yachzi Ishto, Kadeshi Yolam Olashav, right? They wouldn't remarry because that's the whole point of them divorcing was there's no point in having wives and having children if they're all going to be killed, yeah? So therefore, Lekach Nasa Nesa. So that was the whole purpose. The purpose was that she should be young as if she can now have children again. And then people will say, okay, that, you know, his mamash remarrying her despite the fact that maybe they'll have children and the children will be killed. But the message from the Gadol Hador is it doesn't matter. You have to remarry and do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting shot. Yeah. Okay, next one, right? Number three. Vatera Oso Kitofu, right? So the Pasuk says she saw Moshe Rabbeinu that he was Tov. And we have all sorts of drushes of what this Tov is. So Remeir says Tov is Shemo, or maybe it's Tuvia, maybe it's light, and all sorts of the other drushes. So the question is, yeah, again, this is what I'm going to say, what prompted these drushes? What was it about the Pasuk? Why don't we just say, you know, she saw that he was a good baby, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And leave it at that, right? Sounds like Pasuk Pshat, right? So I saw a few Mepharshim that deal with this. The Eitz Yosef says, simple thing, he says, the first one here, Kashilahu, right? The Chachamim were bothered. Kol ha'banim tovim ba'enei moseihem. What's going to say? Now, is there such a thing that a woman has a child and she doesn't see its tov? Yeah, it's kind of obvious, right? So the fact that she says she saw his tov has to be some kind of special tov, yeah? Because why would it have said he was Tov? It's like obvious. Torah doesn't tell you things which are obvious. Like every woman sees their child as being Tov. Nachlis Baruch says something a bit more in the words. He says, Ritzelamar, the drasha is because of Oso, is muta. Right? It could have said, right, Vatera, she saw Kitofu. Why does it say Vatera Oso? She saw him, Kitofu, that he was Tov. Right? So what's this word Oso? Vadarash, Shirasa, the word Oso, he spits up, it means Os Shalo, Oso, his Os. Right? So she saw his Os. Yeah? What's his Os? Os is like a sign, huh? Right? Uma Eza Os Yeshalzer. What kind of sign, what was the Os on this? Yeah? Now he brings a proof of this, by the way, because this is quite fancy here. So he says, Remer Lishitaso to Dayik. He says, Remer elsewhere, he's Medayik, the way he says that it's a name, Tov, right? Why? B'shemash avosav, hitilu gora ledas mashimo. So he brings a source that Remer apparently elsewhere holds, that the avos, yeah, they would make some kind of goral to work out how to name their children. So what was the os? The os was the goral, yeah? Like, you know, she saw that the sign that came out when they did the special goral, whatever, was Kitofu. That Os, the Os of Moshe Rabbeinu, the go round that they did to work out his name, right, which was the Os, was Tofu. Amazing, right? But Nafal Sham, Zer Begorol Shem, sorry, Zer Begorol Shalom. That was the go round of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amazing, yeah? Okay, next one, right? So this is a Pashat question, yeah? Vatikach lo tevis goma, we say, why goma? I'm a Rebbe Lezer, right? Michan, the tzaddikim shemona chaviv manehem yeshem agufan, right? So, like, you know, so now you know, right? Don't buy a helmet. That's why all these people going around without bicycle helmets.
Oh, very good.
Cost money.
Yeah, you want to come to steal.
Yeah, exactly. Save money, right? So the obvious question is, yeah, you're not allowed to put your life in danger, right, to save money, right? Pekuach nefesh, right? You're meant to do sensible things, right? We're not. So how would we ever suggest, you know, they decided to make a paper, you know, a paper basket for Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah? Like, you know, you need to protect pekuach nefesh. So obvious question, yeah? So Maharsha deals with this. He says, Besarach Loma, so don't be confused, yeah? Definitely Moshe Rabbeinu was definitely protected by this reed basket, yeah? Even in the first Peshat, right? Ella, she yota ha mishdama ba'eitz macherim. Just saying, you know, instead of having like a normal bicycle helmet, you could have bought the most fancy bicycle helmet, like a really, you know, super duper bicycle helmet, yeah? And then again, the fact that the Torah emphasizes, oh, you should know it's Goma, because why did it need to point that out? Right? So the fact that it's emphasizing that it wasn't the most super duper bicycle helmet, it was kind of, you know, just kind of normal bicycle helmet, is to try to tell you this message, Mikan the Sadiqim. Dim Lokain, Ein Lacha Dava Sha'omed Bifne Pukuach Nefesh, because you came from Mammon, yeah? Obviously, you know, you'd spend money for Pukuach Nefesh, for Kala Habit, right? So I hope we would have all said the same thing.
It's Meduyik in Rashi as well.
Ah.
I think, because it says it's more safe.
More safe, exactly.
It's more safe in wood. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's not the real thing is not safe.
Right?
It's just a question of comparatively. You could have had an even safer boat.
Mm-hmm.
Tabor. Okay.
Good.
Next question, yeah? We're up to number 5 here, yeah? Mm-hmm. So it says, Vatered bas parali l'chotz al yor, right? That's the pasuk. And it says, Arab b'yachaych l'mishim Rebbe Shimon ben Yochai, melamed sh'yarda l'chotz m'gulule aviyah, right? She came to kind of cleanse herself, to do tevila from the avodah zarah of her father, right? Mm-hmm. So the obvious question, yeah? Again, like I was saying before, what's wrong with pasuk pshat, right? You know, she came to wash in the Nile, and people would wash in the Nile, right? Like, what's wrong with that? Like, why are we kind of like so here Maharsha addresses this. So he says, the darash lay, right, the whole drash is coming from the fact, medilokative lirchotz betochayot, right? That it should have said, had it just been washing, you wash inside, yeah? A river, right? So Ella alhayor, it's a bit of a strange expression. She washed upon the Nile. What do you mean upon the Nile? She washes in the Nile, yeah, not upon the Nile, you know? So Ella al Hayor like upon, like in relation to, like, you know, means, yeah? Right? It wasn't mamash urechita in the Nile, it was about the Nile, you could say, yeah? And that's where I'm giving a pshat. I mean, Marshall doesn't say that. But you know, the Nile was something which was a Avodah Zarah, Dick. Kind of, they used to worship the Nile and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, okay, so that's where it's coming from. Right, number six, a similar question here, yeah? And you may even simpler answer, yeah? So it says, V'nerisseha holchos, yeah? That her maidservants of, right, Basia, of the daughter of Paro, yeah, were going along, yeah? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein halicha zu ela lashon mitza. Right, they were going to their deaths. Right, so the obvious question is, well, you know, what's wrong with just saying they were going? Yeah, like why? Every time it says people are going, that means they're going to die. Yeah, what's going on here? So Rashi on Chumash kind of deals with this. Yeah, so Rashi says here, "Vachatuv mesainan." Right, he brings this drasha as a kind of drasha, and he says, and the pasuk supports this. Ki lama lanu lichtoiv v'nereseh ha'olchus. So this is like one of the themes, yeah? Torah never writes something that's superfluous, yeah? You know, if it's not relevant, the fact that they were going along, they were walking along, yeah, then why would it say it?
Why speak about entourage? It's not
necessary. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying like
Eliezer had servants when he went to see, right?
Yeah, I mean, Bastama, whenever Paro went anywhere, whenever Paro went anywhere, I mean, they had, yeah, an entourage, yeah? Right. He doesn't need to say that they mm-hmm. went along, yeah? So because and the Eitz Yosef also kind of he also says kind of similar pshat in order to say that's the kind of the thing that's kind of bothering Chazal. They want to explain pasha pshat that there's something here going on extra behind the scenes, yeah. And holchus therefore we say, well, it is used in the context of dying, so that kind of then relates to the midrashim that bring out what's going on here in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the very last one here. So it says, Melamed Sha'astalo Imo Chupas Nu'urim, right? So we said that he was called a Nar, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was, it says initially he's called a Yeled, right? And then he's called a Nar, right? And that, by the way, Maharsha also brings out, that's another point, it's not written on here, but that's another reason why the drushes here is because of the fact that it kind of uses both terms, like, you know, either call them a Yeled or call them a Nar, but why is it called a Yeled and then a Nar, right? So one of the second drasha is that she made a chupas n'urim. Yeah, Yocheved, his mother, made some kind of a chupah, right? A kind of, you know, something to do with the marriage, yeah? Canopy, yeah? Of n'urim, of young people. That's what young people do. They get married, yeah? B'teva, right? And she said, Amra, Shema la'ezka l'chupaso. So maybe I'm not going to merit to be in his chupah. So the question I had here is, yeah? Kind of what's going on here? It's like a bit strange. I mean, what was this chuppas nurim? Yeah, first of all, I mean, sounds strange anyway, like some kind of canopy. But then what was she trying to achieve? Very strange thing. Okay, she's not going to be in the chuppah, right? But then, you know,
how does this help?
So I mean, I imagine like she puts like a little stick of wood over, and somehow that helps that she's not going to be in the chuppah. Like, what's, he's not getting married now, right?
She didn't want to miss out on the decorating of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it's like a very, it's a strange thing.
Yeah, yeah,
I understand the problem, but I don't understand the answer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah, if you're your chevet, you know, why you're not going to be the chuppah? So, you know, you're going to make a chuppah within the basket. It's like, you know, put a talis over it, like, you know, stick mm-hmm. you know, wine, and, you know, have everything ready for, I mean, what's... So anyway, the Nachlas Baruch deals with. Nachlas Baruch, I said quite, he's okay, he's kind of like a... few hundred years ago, but he's later, kind of late Achron, but it's very beautiful what you're saying here. So he said, this is number seven, he says, Ritzei Lamar, right, Shemin Hagam Haya Lintur Erez L'chupa, right, Bishar Shinolat. So they used to have a minhag, right, that when a child was born, they would plant an Erez, like a cedar tree, yeah? And then they would, then, you know, it was very cute that I suppose maybe they did one for men, you know, both sides, and they would cut it down and make out of it. I think there's a Gemara about this.
Someone
in Gittin.
It's the one in Gittin, that's why
they started the Chorban.
Yeah.
And if so, you wouldn't, you know, you have to be very careful not to cut down someone's chuppah tree, yeah? So that was apparently a well known ancient custom, yeah? So so what did she do? The he nata lo petochateva. So she somehow planted it, I don't know, or put the seeds, whatever it was, yeah, inside the teva itself, yeah? Right? So inside the teva's motion, maybe it says, Shiyikach es a teva, right, or not sure, sorry, I don't know, I've got a gissa here, strange and not, right? But when you would take the teva,
maybe Mishum.
Mishum, maybe? Sheyikach es
ha-teva. The one who takes the teva will also...
No, I tell you what, it's the shin and the mem should swap. So, Shemi, Sheyikach es ha-teva, whoever then goes and takes, who's hoping someone's going to find the teva, so they find the teva with the tree kind of ready planted inside, yeah? Yikach gamas ha-erez, v'yitnenu. And then they'll kind of say, oh, you know, this is obviously meant for this child, so they'll kind of put it in the ground, amazing. And out will come their erez tree. So she was kind of preparing Moshe Rabbeinu's erez tree. That was what was going on.
Beautiful.
According to the ancient planting an erez tree. And that's the Chuppis Neurim, according to Nachlas Baruch.
Yeah.
Yeah, cute, right?
I wonder what people do nowadays when they like dump a baby somewhere. What they put with it, you know.
Find a baby with some kind of seeds like tied around. You know, to plant that baby tree.
Right. Beautiful. Very nice.
Shlach.